toll free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
How's everyone doing? This is a really wild night. I'm actually, I don't know, I had sort of a mix-up in terms of my guest, and I thought perhaps someone was going to be here who I don't think is going to be able to join us. It was Colin Ross, MD, and he is, I believe, an expert on mind control. However, as it happens, I had something else on my calendar, and I just rolled in from Laughlin Conference about an hour ago, and so it's kind of a wild, crazy time. And I believe I should have Rebecca Jernigan on the air with me. Rebecca, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
Well, you're really a star for stepping up to the plate here.
Oh, well, there's nothing about it. It's just, this is just so much fun to spend time with you and the audience. Pardon me. This is fun. This is all good. Everything's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Absolutely. Well, it's really funny because you came online and you said, "Who's your guest?" And I was just sitting there in a panic going, "Oh, my God." When I was just realizing that I didn't have a confirmation, I put something on my calendar, and I guess it wasn't confirmed. It's still not clear what was going on with that. But at any rate, it's really wonderful that you're able to join me. And what I'll just do is give everyone a brief update of what I've been doing and at the same time tell you, because we've been trying to talk and, you know, get together for, I don't know, at least a week or two.
Oh, at least, yes, I agree.
I was traveling in Europe, and actually there's just a lot to catch up on.
Yes, there is. I can't wait to hear about your trip to Laughlin like everyone else is, so I'm excited.
So at any rate, you know, I was just at Laughlin for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, and I had been hoping to get some interviews done there, and I did get an interview done with Dolores Cannon, which should be very interesting for people, and a lot of people had been wanting me to interview her, and I had been very curious because I've read several of her books, and so that was a great opportunity. She was speaking at Laughlin. And then on top of that, I also did another interview with Bob Dean, who has now actually spilled the beans even further than ever before. And so this is going to be very interesting for people, I think.
Wow, fantastic. First of all, I want to comment on the Dolores Cannon thing. She's one of my favorite people. I have watched her videos, Carrie, and she's an amazing woman. You know, one of my abilities is to be able to see what other people see. And so when she's up there doing her thing, she was on video, I could see the people, if you will, or the entities or the beings that she was talking to, and it was just amazing. She's just an amazing woman. you know, just so unassuming. And then she comes forth with all this information. It was fabulous. And Bob Dean, obviously a sweetie, just a wonderful man. I'm excited. I can't wait till you put all this material up.
Thank you so much. Well, it's actually very exciting because, you know, I don't know how much, you know, I actually am not even sure when we've talked last because I was in Europe before I went to Laughlin. And I was back for, I don't even know if it was a week at the most. And in Europe, I got an interview with Andy Lloyd. And he is the person who is something of an expert on the what's called the Dark Star or Second Sun. And he's written a couple of books. And he has a new book that is just about to come out, which is very exciting, which is actually about the Anunnaki of all things. And I had no idea that he was going down that road. So that turned out to be a very interesting interview. And we talked about some unexpected things. And I can get into that in a little more detail if you're interested. On top of that, I was able to interview Gary McKinnon's mother. And that was really amazing. Her name is Janice, and she was very forthcoming. She's been fighting the good fight with her son Gary McKinnon now for several years to keep him from being extradited to America, and she's rallied, you know, pop stars and all kinds of people to the cause, and so that was a really interesting interview and a chance to get to know her. We all went out to dinner and had a great old time. And one of the people that was helping me out, I do need to give him credit here, is somebody that I've mentioned on our website, and his name is Jack Burns, and he has come along with me on my travels in Europe and to Laughlin. And what he's going to be doing for Camelot is putting together conferences for us. First in Australia, hopefully a Camelot sort of tour of Australia that will include many of the Camelot witnesses as speakers. And, you know, if all things go well in Australia, then we'll branch out to some other parts of the world. And so that, you know, this was an opportunity for him to actually see close up how Camelot operated, and all that came about because he was invited to a conference that we were going to do in Barcelona on free energy that got canceled, and he volunteered to come along with me on my interview with Laura Knight Jedzik, who I went to France to interview and have a fabulous interview with her, which is going to be very exciting to release. So it's just been like gangbusters lately.
Wow. And it goes the gamut, Carrie. I mean, the people that you're interviewing really go the gamut as far as the diversity of your guests that you've videoed and interviewed. So that's just fantastic. I think that's the whole point, is to not focus on just one particular arena, that you're getting all this great information from different sources and different information, and that's really what's needed. And I'm just, wow. I'm excited. I can't wait to get it posted.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's I say to people that the fun part is traveling and interviewing, and then the hard part is actually sitting down and editing everything together. That's what takes all the time and the real focus, as a matter of fact, hours and hours of just, you know, sitting there. And actually what we do, which is interesting, Camelot has always been different than other places, is that we don't edit out what the guest says. All we do in the editing process is cut between the cameras and tidy up, like, you know, things where camera stopped or we changed tapes or there were interruptions or things of that nature. But by and large, we just let the guest, whoever the interviewee is, talk about whatever it is they want to talk about, and we just go with it. So that's why our interviews are so long. And it's sort of a different approach, and I think a lot of people appreciate the fact that we're not using sound bites and we're not editing people out.
Well, because what you have is you have an authentic conversation. that's what that is. It's an authentic conversation, and that's really what people need to hear is the everything that a person says or does. I mean, there's very few people that even when they get up in front of somebody to do a speech, you know, they've practiced it and practiced it, where if you're just doing, you know, a laid-back interview like you do, then what you get is a real personality. You get a real energy. You get a real feel for what that person is about and what they're trying to, statements that they're trying to make. So it becomes, for me, a real authentic experience.
Well, thank you. Yes, absolutely. And that's what it's all about. That's what we're hoping to arrive at. And I have to say that another person I interviewed here in Los Angeles right before I left for Europe is Michael Schratt. And Michael is an aerospace historian. I think that's how he classifies himself, and a fascinating researcher who is really an expert on aviation and, you know, planes that come from black projects and focusing on really the, you know, the technology angle, which is something that, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but Michael was really, he just came to Southern California to do some more investigation and happened to call me up, and we've been wanting to interview him for quite some time. Fascinating guy, an excellent mind, wonderful researcher, and he connects dots that a lot of people have missed out on. He's done a lot of interviews himself, but they were kind of off-the-record interviews with people at NASA and various aerospace facilities. So he has that to also back up his own research, which is really interesting. So I think people will be fascinated to also see that interview when I am able to get it up and out there.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking while you're chatting about this man, I'm thinking, gosh, because there's so much activity, air activity anymore, it really is kind of hard to discern because of the technology advancements that, you know, the world has made in different spacecraft and aircraft and et cetera and so forth, of how to figure out what belongs to us here on the Earth, if you want to say that, and that which comes from other places. We'll just kind of word it like that. And he would, I think, would be probably a really good source to be able to help people identify what it is that they're looking at, because obviously the technology exists, or we wouldn't be viewing it. We wouldn't be able to see it. And so with him coming on, I think this is just going to be I can't wait to hear from him either. I think that's just a fascinating topic. Totally fascinating. And a historian, I mean, that's cool.
And he has lots of graphics, you know, he's able to do modeling, you know, and I don't even understand it completely, but he models on the computer what he's seen based on drawings. He can actually make a 3D model and a model on the computer that then, becomes a 3D model that they can print out or create, you know, not print out, but actually, you know, build, which is really a fascinating skill set in and of itself. So, yeah, I mean, there is a lot happening out there. And have to say that Laughlin, this was the last year of the Laughlin Conference. It's now, it's been bought from Bob Brown and by a man named John Rao. And he is located in Phoenix and is going to be continuing the Laughlin Conference in Phoenix from now on. And so that's going to be a whole different approach. And by the way, Bob Dean is just turning 81, and he's in real good shape. And it was very exciting to be able to connect with him
fascinating.
Again. You know, and we spent quite a bit of time with Bob, and also with Marcia Schaefer, his wife in Phoenix. Before we went to Laughlin, we stopped by and had dinner with both of them. And had a lovely time, and you know, Bob was in great form. So anyway, it's a lot of fun to be able to meet people, connect with people. We had some amazing help both in France with just people supporting us and helping with the interviews and so on, and also in England, and a very dear friend of mine who I met on the web. and was able to meet in person for the first time was absolutely invaluable in England. And I have to say that we got lost constantly. driving around England is just like driving around a rabbit warren or something of that nature. It's unbelievably difficult. And we had maps and we had directions and we had people on the phone directing us, and we still got lost.
It was sounds like a challenge.
And there was two of us, and I have to say that our brain power is not inconsiderable, but at any rate, we just couldn't find our way. It was really amazing. So I don't know if it was Mercury retrograde or what. I know Mars is retrograde right now. Do you know anything about what's going on astrologically?
You know, I do not. My resident astrologer, she comes on my show quite regularly. She's been having some email issues, like many people are having technology issues, and that's kind of an interesting topic right there. I have not had my fix for that as far as that's concerned. But I do know the last time she was on, which was a few weeks ago, she was talking about the whole Mars thing. So, and you know what to expect. But I'm kind of at the point where I don't know where we're at in the moment as far as astrologically speaking. But there's definitely shifting going on. I mean, you can feel it if you're sensitive enough. You can feel the shifts as the planets move and stuff out in the, you know, out in the cosmos. And I mean, really, you can. It does affect us. Everything that happens affects us, whether it's on a little level or a high level. So
absolutely.
I don't know.
It's so fascinating, the synchronicities that are going on, the crazy stuff. I mean, I was just talking about England and this person who was incredibly invaluable, and they've just Skyped me out of the blue. So
there you go.
Astrologically, yeah. I mean, we've had fascinating things go on at Laughlin and in our hotel in Phoenix. Both of us, in other words, we had our own rooms, and we would call each other on the phone, you know, to say, you know, are you ready to go, this sort of thing. And both the phones, room to room, like the static was so loud, it was like an old-fashioned phone. I think you couldn't even hear the person hardly. And this was in two different hotels. And I'm wondering, like, first of all, did they, I don't know, you could be diabolical about it. You could say, well, they got into my room and they screwed with the phone or something ahead of time. But we didn't even know where we were going to be staying, right? So that would have been pretty impossible. Or on the other hand, what's happened to the technology in the hotels lately? Can't they even have a good phone line? I mean, is that hard? You know.
Well, and here's what I understand is, obviously the technology, and this has been going on even in my own show, Carrie. I've had a lot of technical issues, as well as you have had in the past with your shows, with phone lines dropping. Even sometimes you and I have conversed and we lose our connection to the internet, whatever. But even landlines, cell phones, that kind of stuff. You know, as we were talking about the energies affect everything, and certainly our technology is a 3D technology. And it's really, when you think about it, is extremely antiquated. Most of the phone lines and the satellites and all of that have been there for a long time. And so with all of these changes going on out in the universe, literally, it does affect what's happening in our local spaces. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. Where I'm at now, I made a phone call to somebody that was just a few hundred feet away from me into the office, and I couldn't hear a thing. Nothing. Not a thing. I couldn't hear a thing. And, again, static electricity, static and it was awful. It was just during the day, so it wasn't like anything nefarious, you know. Wasn't like some kind of a plot or anything. So, we're looking at technology that isn't going to sustain itself through these changes unless they literally up their game. those who have created this technology have to up their game to take into effect the changes that are here. And the amount of people that are using the technology also, you know, can degrade the systems in and of itself because the drain of usage on it alone. So, you know, when all this was built, it just exploded. You know, the internet, the cell phones, all of that, it just exploded. So you've got all of those signals bouncing around. So really, for me, when I look at technology, it's certainly not stable anymore. And to me, I don't trust it any more than I don't trust the weather is going to stay the same. And I just think that there is something tremendously wrong with the way that the technology has been designed. And it certainly could be, when you think about those that designed it, they may very well have known how this design would eventually kind of deplete itself. And we've come so used to the technology, we've become so dependent on it, that when you do not have it, it becomes pretty stressful situation, which can then cause people to react in a very negative manner when things don't work. So, you know, that's just an opinion, you know, as I've looked at it, because my radio show too, Carrie, when I'm on it, is there's been many times when it just, depending on who the guest is, and I think that's the most interesting thing, is depending on who the guest is will depend on whether or not I have a good signal or not.
I do think that that's true. It's just been really bizarre that the technological interface and the problems, the dropouts, the strange things. We had all kinds of electronic tones going on during the Laughlin conference in the conference room and so on. We had evidence of some interference because Jack has equipment that can detect such things on his own computer. So there was, you know, there were the usual, I guess you might call them, fun and games that were going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't mention that.
and then on top of it, you know, the conference itself was pretty sedate, I have to say. It was not as sort of, I don't know, I think there was there must have been a drop-off to some degree on attendance. And it's still going on, actually. It's going on today, and this is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I think it has three more days to go. And usually people do, it picks up a little more towards the end of the week than it does in the earlier part of the week. So had our schedules made it possible, we would have, you know, tried to stay more towards the end of the week. But as it happens, Jack has to go back to Australia on Friday, so we weren't able to stay any later. But it was really interesting. The energy was not really there this time, and maybe that's just a function of the fact that people are, you know, because the conference is not, this was the last one in that hotel and so on. I'm assuming that might be the reason, but there could be other reasons. You know, there's just a lot of different stuff going on out there, and people are sort of reaching different levels of consciousness. Not everyone's in the same place, and so I think perhaps that might be also reflected in the attendance and the type of people that are attending various conferences at this time.
I agree. I think that there comes a point when everything reaches kind of a pinnacle, and then you have to you have to rethink it, you have to remold it, you have to retool it, because as everyone reaches a certain level, then you have to go beyond that level, because you can only stay at that level for so long, and then you have to take the next step up. It's, you know, forward moving. And that happens in just about anything when you stop and think about it. Even in my own show, I remake it, you know, sometimes twice a year I remake the direction it's going in, even if it's ever so slightly, other people may not recognize it, but I do. Just with, you know, the energy of who I'm bringing in, what kind of information I'm bringing in, et cetera and so forth. Just like you and I and everybody else out there that's on any kind of a consciousness path, you reach a certain point where you've arrive to that point, and then you have to step up your game and you have to reach beyond that point because you're ready for it and you need new information. Nothing ever stays the same. That is the constant in the world anyway. So is that it's just in a constant state of flux, and so you have to be prepared for it.
Yeah, I have to say that I think that people are also reaching different places at different times, and I think that that's affecting at least everyone that's talking to me is talking about their relationships, close friends, you know, husband, wives, this kind of thing, where people are actually having a lot more trouble communicating with each other at this time. And there are a lot of changes because of the way things are being perceived. And different people are seeing things completely differently. And I have to say that we have had some evidence of that on Camelot for those of you who are sort of devotees of our site, so to speak. You will have noticed that we had sort of a difference of opinion lately on one of our whistleblowers, and that was extremely unfortunate. Actually, it hasn't happened in that way before, never became public. But this is a sign of the times, I have to say, and what's going on in Camelot is reflected out there in the larger picture, and people are coming to me and sharing their personal stories, and obviously it is affecting everyone.
Yeah, it truly is, and you've said that very, very eloquently. It is a sign of the times, and it is very reflective of what's going on. And you know, even in my world as well, it's reflected on my day-to-day conversations as well as conversations that I might have had a few months ago with a guest that had been on, and they come forward and they're on a different level than I am, or a different plane than I am, if you will. And it can be quite challenging, and the point is to try to keep yourself as balanced as you possibly can so that these kind of things don't, you know, tip the scales and cause you to come unglued, because that's the last thing anyone needs is to, you know, to be unglued over all of it. It's just, you just have to sit back and go, okay, where is this really coming from? And it's just kind of observing. And it's like being in observation mode as well as being, you know, a participant in that moment. And it is reflective. The world, I mean, you can just feel it. For those of you who drive back and forth to work every day, you can become aware of everything that people are thinking in their vehicles, and you can really tell what's going on. You really can.
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually, and I think that by and large we've been very lucky at Project Camelot at any rate, because Bill and I are extremely different people, and yet we've managed to hold it together and continue to investigate all aspects of this really amazing story out there. So we'll be back after the commercial here, and this is Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and I'm on the air with Rebecca Jernigan from Journeys with Rebecca Radio. Okay, we'll be right back.
Toxins are a serious concern in today's world, and Living Clay is the solution. Live well with Living Clay, the natural calcium bentonite clay everyone is talking about. Living Clay is an exceptionally strong detoxifying and cleansing agent. Born from volcanic ash, rich in trace minerals, and ionically charged, Living Clay absorbs and binds toxins, holding them until they are eliminated. I've been using Living Clay for a long time now, and have not found a better chelator or product to deal with bug bites, burns, etc. You will not be disappointed. You won't find a smoother, stronger, or more effective all-around natural calcium bentonite clay. Living Clay is the solution you've been looking for. It's so pure, you could eat it. Visit www.livingclayco.com or call 800-915-2529 for wellness products that are as good for you as they are for the world around you. That's 800-915-2529. For more educational information, go to www.aboutclay.com.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well. just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
You're listening to The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. I'm on the air with Rebecca Jernigan. And about 8 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be joined, I believe, by Dr. John Waterman, who will be calling in. And he is, that's actually not his real name. He also has a radio show in Europe, as it happens. But he is an American, and he has sort of his finger on the pulse of the militia movement, and also what's going on behind the scenes. And I'm getting people Skyping me with interesting information as we chat here. So if you hear those Skype sounds, I can't help it. Some people, you know, just discover me, and then they come through. And sometimes it's interesting information, so I kind of let it go. At any rate, Rebecca, are you still there?
I am, dear. I'm still here.
Wonderful. So one of the things that I'm noticing is something that went on with my interview with Dolores Cannon, in which she was talking about various things from her point of view. And what I'm beginning to realize is that each person not only has a piece of the puzzle, but oftentimes they actually don't see the other person's piece, if you will. In other words, there's a lot of information that's being centralized in one person or another, and then the other person absolutely has no idea about it. And I think that that's really fascinating, and it's been going on for a very long time now. So putting together the big picture has been something of an obstacle course, but it's very interesting to start to see, you know, places where things will correlate, cross-correlate, and places where there is no bleed-through between, you know, interviewees. It's a fascinating dynamic.
Well, and I'd like to share a story with you that's right along this same line. I had a really interesting guest on my show on Tuesday, and he was talking about his personal journey of what he calls mysticism. And so the guy's on there talking, and he's chatting, and really is an extremely intelligent, fantastic gentleman. As a matter of fact, he is the CEO, I'm not sure if that's his correct title, of the Monroe Institute, which studies the study of consciousness. And the gentleman that originally started the Monroe Institute, the reason why he did was because he was having spontaneous out-of-body experiences. So the story behind the Monroe Institute in and of itself is fascinating, and he's actually going to be on to be talking specifically about that. But what the gentleman that was on my show, Paul Rademacher, was talking about was his own personal journey from religion into mysticism and how he had mystical experiences. So there are several chat boxes that are up, three or four chat boxes that are up during my show. Other people are carrying the show, other affiliates. So I go in there and I'm, you know, looking around to see, you know, what the comments and things are of that. And, you know, some of the people just absolutely couldn't wrap their mind around what this man was saying. I didn't think it was, for myself personally, I didn't think it was like weird or strange. I mean, I swapped stories on the air with him. But the most interesting thing was about some of these people that were like thinking this guy fell off the face of the earth and didn't know what he was talking about. They were then talking about their own personal experiences. You know, people will chat back and forth in a chat room, and they were talking about their own mystical experiences. And I was watching that, and I thought, well, now what a strange phenomenon this is. Here, this guy is talking about very similar things that they're talking about that they personally have experienced, but yet they couldn't wrap their mind around what this man was saying. And it was totally fascinating to me. It was just totally fascinating to me how you can be talking about the same type of a thing, and yet some people just didn't seem to get it. And it wasn't like his verbiage was so outlandish that you were going, what kind of language are you speaking, you know? It was extraordinary.
Yeah, that's very, very strange. And I think that that's true. In other words, I think that there is also an issue with language, you know, the use of language. And some people are not familiar with certain terminology and become intimidated by it. And so it's almost like we're talking different languages, and yet you can be talking about the same exact thing.
Exactly. And, you know, that's been kind of a topic on my show off and on for the last many weeks, Carrie, is all about the restrictions of language. And it doesn't matter if it's English language or French or Spanish or whatever. The language itself, the spoken word, just can't hold a candle to, as an example, an experience or a dream that somebody has, because in those dreams or experiences, mystical experiences, paranormal experiences, whatever they may be, there is always an emotion. There is visuals. There's things that are sensory perceptions that just they just don't flow over into a language so that you can have somebody see and feel and experience what you've experienced. There is a true barrier in that manner, the language itself. It's very restrictive.
Yeah, I have to say also, if you want to talk about, in other words, what I call the unseen world, in general, I think that's where people get that's where communication breaks down. In other words, verbal communication. That's where people will become suspicious of other people, the language they use, and what they're really talking about. And again, there's also this whole thing going from, in essence, third density into fourth density, which is what I believe the Earth is doing. There's a breakdown in which some people will perceive things and other people will not. And since it's unseen and that can't be proven in sort of a nuts and bolts 3D reality, then a certain group of people don't want to admit that there's any possibility that such a thing can exist. And actually, I'm having the same issue with Bill, because our perceptions are very, very different. He comes from a science background, and I come from a more sort of metaphysical, esoteric, for lack of a better title, world. I'm more intuitive. I tend to go, from that direction. And so it's actually really fascinating. And it's been a plus in our interviews and in dealing with people, because we cover a gamut at the same time. Sometimes there's a complete breakdown in communication. And some of our witnesses that are coming forward now are really coming out of a world in which nothing can be proven.
Right.
And one of those people is Aaron McCullen, who I just interviewed recently. And he was involved in a super soldier program. Some of his information is normal, so-called normal, part of the 3D world. In other words, he was a member of the Coast Guard and so on and so forth. But when you get into what really went on in his life, and the things that have actually, completely turned him around and changed his worldview, none of it can be proven.
Sure.
And this is where people are really going off the deep end. Some people write to us and they're very excited to hear a firsthand account of interactions on, this level in the unseen world with things like dolphin hybrids and so on and so forth. And other people just don't even want to hear it because they can't prove it.
Right.
And so we're really in Camelot, we're actually in an interesting dilemma at this time as we continue to report on what's out there. If we just stop with only what can be seen and what can be proven in the sort of 3D world, then we're basically leaving what in essence could be a picture of the Matrix and beyond, a very thin, superficial picture. On the other hand, if we do go into these deeper dimensions and we do want to talk to people that are doing these kind of explorations, and Robert Monroe is a perfect example of that from the Monroe Institute. He started the Monroe Institute, but he started it because he had travels, out-of-body travels into other
right.
dimensions, et cetera, into different areas of consciousness. And this is what made it fascinating. And, of course, remote viewing comes out of all that and so on and so forth. In fact, most of the remote viewers that were government trained also went to the Monroe Institute to be educated in terms of the things that, Robert Monroe was finding. And so it's really important at this time, I think, to be an explorer and not to stop because you don't have a piece of paper in front of you that says, someone's got a diploma or they've got, evidence.
Oh, absolutely. And, that's really where the line is that seems to stop a lot of people, because some of the, the chit-chat and the conversations and the, letters and emails and stuff that I get is like, if you can't prove it, then it doesn't make it so. And, it's kind of like you feel emotions, but you can't prove that they're there. So what's the difference? That unseen world is really more of the truth of who we are, in my opinion, than this third dimensional playground that's holographic image that's been presented that we're all, operating out of. And for me, you know, getting comfortable in that unseen world and trying to figure out how to express that unseen world into this dimensional space has been the biggest challenge for me personally. Because, you know, through the years, you know, and people are more open to it now, Carrie, than they ever have been. But there's so many people out there that if they can't see, feel, or touch it for themselves, it doesn't exist. And I actually think that people are doing themselves a huge disservice because they're not opening themselves to other worlds that could enrich their lives and also enrich their knowledge and their information that they get as an individual if they don't use it for anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good point. For myself, because I am, in essence, a traveler and explorer, both in this dimension and in other dimensions, this comes as second nature to me. This, you know, it all makes sense. And again, you know, and I guess we've spoken about it before, but I think you also have to talk about the when something resonates with your heart, your heart chakra, when your heart and your mind are engaged simultaneously and something resonates, then you know that there's truth there, even though you cannot necessarily prove it or even explain how you know that it's true.
Right. And really, that's getting back to one of the earlier statements I made to you when you were talking about your interviews. For me, that's being your authentic self. And it doesn't, you don't need the approval of anyone else to be who you are. And we don't need to judge or to disapprove of how other people see things. But as you know, we've been talking here tonight, and you've been sharing about how you can have five people witnessing the same event, and every one of those people are going to see it from a different perspective. It's never going to come from the same perspective. We're all so individual, and our own particular vibrational pattern, or whatever you want to call it, is going to view things based on what we understand as the individual. So you're never going to get people that are going to agree on anything.
Well, I hope it doesn't get quite that bad, but I do know what you mean. I mean, I think you're right about that. More and more people, like I said, again, and of course we have language, which is something of an obstacle for expressing ourselves. If we were all telepathic, it'd be so much simpler. And we are moving in that direction, I do believe. And those of us that have developed some of our telepathic powers are actually, I mean, this may be presumptuous, but I actually think that our ability to deal with the world at hand right now is probably better because we are able to be more adept, more sort of ready to move with the moving times and shifting sands around our feet. And I think that these are the kinds of things that could even save lives under certain circumstances. In other words, being a precog could save your life and could save other people's lives as well. So I think this is something to be honored and to be explored and to be even emphasized at this time. And that's the direction that I'm interested in going. And so consequently, I do want to announce that we are going to be exploring different areas within Camelot, and Bill is going to be concentrating in certain areas, and I'm going to be concentrating in certain areas. So consequently, we'll be having different interviews that we do on our own more and more as we go forward, simply because our areas of focus are starting to widen. And I think that Camelot will benefit from this. I think that the fact that our focus is not on this one and the same thing at this time could be a great benefit to our viewers. On top of that, I wanted to say that Bob Dean has verified, and you know, obviously the interview will come out in a week or two when I can get a chance to edit it. But in person, he was verifying a lot of the information that we have gotten from other whistleblowers, very specifically a couple of things that were said by Henry Deacon and also Jake Simpson, two of our whistleblowers from earlier days, in which he was talking about superluminal travel and verifying that that exists, as well as, for an example, he gave an anecdote about a Stargate in which a person went into S4 and went into an elevator, went down to a certain floor, and stepped through a door and was told on the other side that he had just entered Pine Gap in Australia.
Well, thank you for that confirmation there, my dear.
Yeah, I mean, so this stuff is going on. And what I have to say to people is that what is happening is not only are we getting some very wild information at this time, and some of it is very hard to substantiate, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't present it to the public, in my opinion, because it's very important for people to start to widen their envelope of what is possible, simply because what is possible and what has seemed impossible is actually being done in black projects behind their backs and has been for the last 50 years. And we're getting more and more evidence of this actually daily. And on top of it, we are getting, like I said, substantiation on points from various places, both in front of the scenes. In other words, like people like Bob Dean, who are extremely respected, are now coming forward with more information, feeling that this is a time when even things that they had held back for all this time, that perhaps we're getting to a very critical juncture and this information must be released. And so we are getting verification of whistleblower testimony that we got years ago, with other people coming forward simultaneously from completely different directions, some of whom have no idea of the whistleblower testimony we have on our site. And so this is a really fascinating time to be sort of immersed in this arena, so to speak.
And, it really, I think that the direction that people are wanting to go in is that they are wanting to go into an expansion space, a space where they can explore those things that maybe they have figured was probably already real. But, when we see stuff on TV, when we see stuff on the movie screen, when we see all those, sci-fi things, those are already in existence. They've been in existence. That information has to come from somewhere. It's not just an imagination thing. So for me personally, I find this time to be extraordinarily exciting just because of the nature of who I am. I have been able to view so many different things. It's just, I could write books and books on the stuff that I've seen and witnessed and been privy to and the information that has been shared. And some of this stuff came to me like 15, 20 years ago, and I had no idea that if I was to look forward 15, 20 years, that it would actually become what it has become. When you're looking at something that far into the future, you get a sense impression of what it is. You get a sense of what it is, but when the time actually shows up and it presents itself, you kind of go, wow, that was much more profound than I really anticipated it to be. So I think there's a lot of people like that out there that have had a lot of different experiences and visions, whatever you want to call them, that are now witnessing those things in actuality, which is just like you have been sharing with everyone here tonight, which is the whistleblower testimony coming forward and corroborating what's already been said years ago. And a lot of it is about the unseen world, like the trip in the elevator ending up in Australia.
Exactly. Well, it really does boggle the mind, and you have to understand that some of the people that we're talking to are having face-to-face meetings with various ETs.
Yes.
Not just in the sort of other dimensions or, out-of-body experiences or so on and so forth. But they're actually meeting with them in real life,
mm-hmm.
Especially members of the military. And this is just really a fascinating sort of aspect to things. And at the moment, this sounds outlandish to people out there, and I do understand that. But nonetheless, I have to say that the witnesses that are coming forward with the information, at least for the most part, are pretty impeccable. And that is that we have totally vetted them from various other aspects, and they've proven correct in other areas, and their information has been very solid, and they have no reason to lie. And so this is what you get, and I think that people, you know, I don't know how it's going to come about where people are going to start to recognize as a mass that we actually have, you know, humanoid beings here that are ET, for the lack of a better, you know, sort of title for their background or whatever you want to call them. They come from other planets, other dimensions, even interdimensional. You know, these are aspects of self,
sure,
of Godhead, if you will. And the sooner that people start to accept this, start to explore on their own and start to recognize this, I think the better off they're going to be.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And, you know, I do want to make a comment here, if I can, Carrie, is that, you know, this world, that this third dimensional world that we live in has been very well constructed by the powers that be to keep people in a suppressed state, bring forth all the information that's been, you know, disinformation. And so what's happening now is that construct is coming apart, and the reality of what's really going on behind the construct is being shown and presented. And it's being presented in such a way that the people that are aware and conscious of it are having the ability to interact with it and to see it and to recognize it. And so we're getting rid of this third dimensional construct that has been in place for many, many years.
Okay. We're going to go to commercial right here, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Rebecca.
When I look out my window, there's so many sights to see.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
Toxins are a serious concern in today's world, and Living Clay is the solution. Live well with Living Clay, the natural calcium bentonite clay everyone is talking about. Living Clay is an exceptionally strong detoxifying and cleansing agent, born from volcanic ash, rich in trace minerals, and ionically charged. Living Clay absorbs and binds toxins, holding them until they are eliminated. I've been using Living Clay for a long time now, and have not found a better chelator or product to deal with bug bites, burns, etc. You will not be disappointed. You won't find a smoother, stronger, or more effective all-around natural calcium bentonite clay. Living Clay is the solution you've been looking for. It's so pure, you could eat it. Visit www.livingclayco.com or call 800-915-2529 for wellness products that are as good for you as they are for the world around you. That's 800-915-2529. For more educational information, go to www.aboutclay.com.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, son.
What's going on?
Well, I just got my shipment of freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. I was laying away our family supplies here.
Dad, you're not planning to have an emergency, are you?
You don't plan to have them. They happen on their own. You plan a response.
Like what? What could go wrong?
Well, imagine you go to the grocery store and it's empty.
that. That's paranoid.
That's possible.
It's paranoid.
It's not paranoid to prepare. It's perfectly prudent.
Okay, Pops, I get your point.
Keep it.
But, Dad, what if we never need it? Won't it go bad?
Oh, no, son. You'll have babies of your own, and this stuff will still be as good as it is today. And it's good, too. Believe me, I've had some.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Dad, maybe we could have a practice emergency.
Test the food out, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have a real emergency, son. But if we do, I intend to survive. And I intend for you to survive, too.
Thanks, Dad.